this evening for a short period of time to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17. And we want to look at the words that we have in verses 4 and 5. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. Now, as you know, over the last weekend, we had the communion season. And our communion season celebrates and remembers the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Within the congregation, it is a particular time where the Lord's people come together from the Thursday right through to the Monday, and where during that time there is self-examination. Where do we stand when it comes to the things of God? Where do we stand when it comes to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we say that we are saved? Can we say that we are reconciled to a holy God? When you come down the other side of the communion season, we've been at the Lord's table, we have had a Thanksgiving service, and now we, as it were, are coming down and leaving the communion season. And it reminds me of how Peter and James and John were taken up unto the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they had a wonderful view of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was transfigured before them. His raiment shone like white, and his face was white, and it was like light, breaking and bursting through the very clothes that he had. And they had that wonderful sight of the Lord Jesus Christ on that mount. And it was as the Lord, as Moses and Elijah, who were there with the Lord, as they are about to depart, that Peter says these words, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now this evening we want to look at these three things just very quickly. Lord, it is good for us to be here. These are the words of Peter to the Lord Jesus Christ as they are on the Mount of Transfiguration. Lord, it is good for us to be here. And then secondly, there is the proposal that Peter makes. Let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. So that's the proposal that Peter makes. And thirdly, we want to look at the answer that is given to that, because we are then told that while he actually spake, the heavens were opened, and a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, the voice of God, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. So we want to look at these three things. First of all, it is good for us to be here. Secondly, let us build three tabernacles. And thirdly, the voice of God from heaven. First of all then, let us look at the words that Peter says to the Lord Jesus. It is good for us to be here. Why was it that Peter said that? Well, there is no doubt that we are told in the scripture that Peter was afraid. Peter trembled when he saw what was before him. But there is also no doubt that he said, it is good for us to be here because it brought to him great joy. It brought to him great joy. A few moments of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration was enough to fill the soul of Peter with such joy that it came to his lip. He couldn't think of anything else to say. Let us build here 3. It is good for us to be here. And surely, can the soul of any man have any greater experience in this world than experiencing the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? And particularly to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter here sees something of the Lord Jesus Christ that he had never seen before. Before this, he was able to declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But now he has a vision of him in the Mount of Transfiguration that filled his soul with such joy and with such a pleasure and with such a sight that he says, it is good for us that we were here. And my friend, if that's true of Peter, then how much is it true of ourselves when we can gather together at a communion season around the Lord's table and we can remember the Lord's death until he comes again? Remember the wise men when they made their way to Bethlehem. And even seeing the star, we are told that it filled their hearts with exceeding great joy when they saw the star and followed that star that brought them to the place where Christ was to be found. And what great joy surely it brings to the heart when we are in the house of God, when we have an open Bible before us, when we hear the name of Jesus Christ being preached. What great joy that ought to bring to our hearts. What great joy it ought to fill our souls with. When for these few moments, Peter saw something on the Mount of Transfiguration that brought him to tremble, that brought him to fear, but that brought him to say, it's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here on this mount. And as we leave the communion season, and as we come down from what the older divines used to say, as we come down from the Mount of Ordinance, it's surely that we can say it was good for us to be here, where Christ was raised up in the preaching of the word, where you had symbols that showed forth his broken body and shed blood. Does it rejoice your heart that once again the Lord has enabled you to come into the house of God and to be with God's people and to hear the preaching of the word and to see and to smell and to touch and to taste of those things that speak to you of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, just remember this, that just as Peter was on that mount, and as a few moments of the sight of the Lord Jesus there brought to his lips, it's good for us to be here. So it is that as we sit at the Lord's table, we are able to say it was good for us to be here. But we remember that there is something greater even yet that is to come. Because if Peter in a few moments has his soul filled with the love of Christ and filled with joy, and you sit at the Lord's table and you equally have your soul filled with the joy of the Lord, what is it like when you meet Christ in glory? What will it be like for the believer when he leaves this world and he meets, as the Bible tells us, that it is appointed unto man once to die, after death there is the judgment? And the great question that will be asked of us is, what think ye of Christ? What did you do with the Christ that is presented to you? Well, my friend, what a wonderful day it is when you are able to hear, well done, my true and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And that's a joy that will be not ending. That's a joy that will be full. If Peter on the Mount can experience and say it is good for him to be there, and if we are able to say at the Lord's table, it is good for us to be here, how much more on that day when there is the great marriage supper of the Lamb, and where the Lord's people will be able to say that, I know not what I shall be, but I know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. Anything that Peter experienced was but a foretaste of that which was to come. And anything in this world that the Lord's people have of spiritual blessing is but a foretaste of that which is to come. You think of the words of Psalm 16, and we'll be concluding this evening with singing in Psalm 16 in a moment or two. But the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. I have set the Lord before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. My friend, remember this, that as you come and you sit at the Lord's table, as you sit under the preaching of the word, as the Lord Jesus Christ meets you and blesses you by his word and by his spirit, it is but foretaste of that great communion, that great table, when God will bless his people and where Christ will be in the midst of his people, and there will be pleasures evermore. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. No wonder the apostle says that your heart would be filled with joy and peace in believing. Peter here had but a foretaste of things that were yet to come. The believer today has but a foretaste of things that are yet to come. But he says here, let us make three tabernacles. It is good for me. It is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. Peter wants three tabernacles to be built there. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for the Lord Jesus himself. How is it that Peter, James and John knew Moses and Elijah? Had they ever seen them before? They hadn't. On the Mount of Transfiguration, they see Moses and Elijah, and they had never seen them before, and yet they were able to identify and to say that here was Moses, who had been dead and buried for 1,500 years, and here is Elijah, whose body, who had been lifted up into heaven 500 years earlier, and yet when these disciples see Jesus, they see Moses and they see Elijah, and they know exactly who they are. How do they know that? Well, there are many answers you can give to that. It could be that they just heard them speaking. We know that Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus about his death. And it may be that they heard them speaking and heard the names, whatever. I prefer another explanation. It was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great teacher and revealer of Moses, the law and the prophets. It is Jesus Christ that opens to us the law and the prophets. And he does so by his Spirit. And it's as though here on the Mount of Transfiguration, in the presence of the Lord Jesus, in the light that is shone from him, it is revealed to these men who is here. And you know, that's true. You don't really know anything of the Old Testament until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus who fulfills the Old Testament. I came not to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill. And here on the Mount of Transfiguration, these men have it revealed to them who it is that is speaking to the Lord. Now, it may be indeed that they did discover it through discussion. It's up to yourself what you take. But notice here that when Peter says, let us make three tabernacles, how wrong he is, isn't he? How wrong he was. How wrong it is of us to even imagine that when we come to a communion season, that that's all there is to it. When Peter was there on that mount, how his understanding, he first of all had a wrong understanding. Moses and Elijah, we are told, spoke to Jesus. What did they speak to Jesus about? They spoke to Jesus about his death. How he would yet suffer and how he would have to die. And that death and that suffering spoke of the glory of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, he didn't want all when the Apostle Paul came and he preached, he didn't say, we're wanting drama, we're wanting all these things that come into the church today. He says, I want to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified for the sins of the world. He wanted Christ as the Saviour to be preached. How far short Peter's understanding came when he says, let's just stay here. Let's build three. Let's wait here and build three monuments here. Three tents here. He's missing the great glory that belongs to Jesus as he makes his way to Jerusalem. As he makes his way to the cross. As he makes his way to suffer. And Peter himself later on, think of how Peter himself later on writes about the Lord Jesus. He doesn't write later on about tabernacles or tents or making monuments to Jesus. What does he say? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. What a change in Peter, isn't it? Peter's now no longer talking about building tabernacles. He's now talking about how Jesus Christ bore his sins upon the tree, and he took them away. How he opened up a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. As we can come away from the communion season, as we come away from the Mount of Ordinance, are we seeing the glory of Jesus Christ, one who suffered and died for sinners and who rose again, triumphant over death and the grave, in whom you can place your trust, not only for time, but for eternity. Anything short, and we're leaving the mountain and we're not understanding it. We're like Peter, not understanding. Let's stay here. Let's build a monument. The Lord says, no, he must go to Jerusalem. And later on, when Peter writes, there's no word of tabernacles or tents or anything. Who in his own body upon the tree bore our sins. That's where Peter saw the glory of Jesus. He had a wrong understanding. But he also had a wrong view, didn't he? Peter's view of what was happening was constrained to 30 feet. 20 feet. How much room would these tabernacles take up? As they were standing on that mount, Peter's vision and Peter's view wasn't going any further than 20 or 30 feet. Let's use this 20 or 30 feet to build tabernacles. But you see, Peter's view had to go wider than that. Do you remember how when he writes later on, when he writes about the church, he speaks of, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. There's no restraint now about Peter talking about the church in terms of a tabernacle or a tent. He's talking about the Lord's people as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. My friend, when we sit at the Lord's table, you come into the house of God this evening and you see a few people worshipping God, and you come to Edinburgh and you ask yourself, how many people worship God in Edinburgh? And there's very few. And how many of them, of those that do worship, bow down to idols? A lot of them. But how many worship God as he is revealed in the scripture? Very few. But my friend, don't have your view of the Church of Christ restricted. When you come to the Lord's table, and when have you sat at the Lord's table, you are seeing there God's people, and you have before you a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, a kingdom that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Let our views of the Lord Jesus Christ be great. But let our views of the Church of Christ be great. Let us not be restricting our views to just a handful of people. Let's not be restricting our view of Christ and the Church to what we see. Peter was just going by sight, you see. Let's build three tabernacles here. The tabernacle, it's like the booths in the wilderness that the children of Israel, when they used to have their celebration, they would go in and they would dwell in tents, booths. Restricted small. But Christ had to leave the Mount of Transfiguration, because his kingdom was not a kingdom where he would establish some throne on a mount that's not even known today. He had a greater kingdom to establish. He has the Church of Christ in every generation, down to the end of time. The saints in heaven and the saints on earth. And you've got them represented here in the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah in glory, and Peter, James and John in this world. The saints on earth and the saints in heaven, and they all find their centre in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you begin to see how Peter has a wrong understanding. He's going to keep the Lord there and somehow make a kingdom there. 30-odd feet. Oh no, the world and all that it contains are in his hand. All things belong to him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. But we also see it's not just a wrong understanding and a wrong view but he surely here makes something of a wrong assessment. Three tabernacles. Peter, you see, is a Jew. And how he loves Moses. Jews love Moses. Moses is the one by whom the law was given. Moses, the law came by Moses. Moses, as he went up into the mount, into the presence of God. And when Mount Sinai shook, and there was Moses that came down with the tables of the law. There's Moses. What a great man Moses is, isn't he? Great man Moses. When you go through the life of Moses, what a wonderful man Moses is. From the time he's in the bulrushes to the time he's 40 years being known as the son of, of Pharaoh's daughter, and he's in the flesh pots of Egypt, and then he's 40 years out in the wilderness, and then he's 40 years leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness and making his way to the promised land. And he doesn't get there. My friend, he does get there. He's there with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't get in there when he dies, but he gets there when the Lord is with him now. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses, how gracious God is even to Moses. What a wonderful man Moses. And then Elijah, what a wonderful man Elijah is. When you see, we were talking, was it a week past on Sabbath, about prayer and the effectual prayer of that man standing on Mount Carmel, crying to God that it hasn't rained for 3 years, and he sends his servant off. Go and take a look. There's a rain. 7 times he goes off and he looks, and then there's a cloud with the hand of a man. What a wonderful man Elijah is. And yet you come to the apostle when he writes to the Hebrews, and he says about, he actually gives you an exposition of Psalm 95, Psalm that we've sung together, Hebrews, when it speaks about Moses, and it says, Moses is glorious, but there is one here who is more glorious. It's not one tabernacle, it's not three tabernacles here. It's one tabernacle. It's Christ himself. It's Christ. And we'll see in a minute, we'll see in a moment that that's the answer that Peter gives. Because that cloud comes down and God says, this is my beloved son. You hear him. And they could see no other man. Couldn't see Moses. Couldn't see Elijah. They were away. All they could see was Jesus. That's the answer, isn't it? That's the answer. That's the answer that the sinner needs today. It's not the law. It's not the prophets. It's the law and the prophets as they are seen and revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. So therefore, Peter saying, let's make 3 tabernacles. There's much to commend that. Let's make one for Moses, wonderful man Moses. Let's make one for Elijah, wonderful man Elijah. The law and the prophets. Oh, Peter, Peter. Oh, Peter. Christ must have the preeminence in all things. And then he makes a further, he's wrong in his judgment now. You go to Moses and Elijah, and there they are on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they're speaking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the topic? His death. Now that's wonderful, because you would have thought that, you know, if you had Jesus before you today, and the world of Jesus before it today, what would they ask Jesus? They would say, how did you turn the water into wine? How did you do that? And they would be taken up with, how did you walk in the water? You see how foolish man is, isn't it? How was it? How many were there that came to you and you healed them? Do you know what the conversation is in glory? His death. His death. Moses and Elijah came, and we're told, not here, I think it's in Luke's Gospel, it says, and they spoke to him about the death that he was to suffer. Ah, now you're on to something different there, aren't you? You're on to something altogether different when you speak about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're then on to speaking about the way of salvation, the way by which sinners can be saved. The world doesn't want to hear that. The world doesn't want to hear about sin. It doesn't want to hear about sin. It doesn't want to hear about rebelling against God. It wants to hear about good works. My friend, good works take sinners into hell. Christ alone is the Saviour. And these Moses and Elijah comes and they speak to him about the death that he must suffer. Can I ask you this question? What supports do they need? in this world? Do you think that Moses and Elijah need a tent? Do you think that they need a tabernacle? Do you think that they need any support? They have Christ. And what's true of Moses and Elijah, Peter has to learn that it's nothing but Christ and Him alone. Not the earthly supports, not the earthly tents, not the earthly tabernacles, but Jesus alone. Peter has to learn that. And you know, if there is anything that we learn when we come to the communion season, and you go to the Lord's table, and you leave the Lord's table, surely the one thing we should be learning is Christ alone. Without the deeds of the law, without any, you don't need the things of the world. Christ, if you have Christ in your life, then you have everything. Remember how the Apostle Paul put it? He says, I count all things but loss for the sake of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as none. It's nothing. That I may win Him. That I may be known of Him. That I may have the Lord Jesus. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, what earthly supports are you needing? Do you need a tabernacle? It's good to have a church, isn't it? It's good to have a church building. But you can lose your church building. But they can't take Christ from you. They may cast you into prison because you say things that the world don't like. They may take your liberty from you. But they can't take Christ from you. Do you need a tabernacle? Do you need worldly supports? Does Jesus need a tabernacle or worldly supports? He trusted in the Father alone. To do thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art. It was the Father that he came to glorify. And finally, the answer that's given then. Peter says, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And we don't have here recorded anything that Jesus actually says to that, because while they are at, he is actually saying the words, what happens? A bright cloud surrounds them. It's as though God the Father is saying, you will pry no further. You have had this vision, and you'll not see any further. And Moses and Elijah are carried away from them. And what are they left with? They're left with Jesus. In his human nature. No longer now seeing him as he is glorified in the mount, as though his divine nature is almost bursting through his human nature, as though the human nature cannot contain who it is that is here. But now, they are left with the Lord Jesus Christ in his human nature. And the vision of heaven and of glory, the vision outside of what was there, is now taken from them as God himself comes and there's a voice that comes from heaven. And the voice that comes from heaven doesn't come in the form of a man. We don't see that God comes in the form of a man here. It's just a voice. You see, when it comes to worshipping God and to God himself, then no man has seen God at any time. And when God comes, he doesn't come in the form of a man here. It's just a voice that comes, because this voice is addressing faith.
You must enter into these things by faith, not by sight. Not with the eye of flesh. But with the eye of faith. They were to look by faith. They weren't to make up their own. They weren't to say, let's build three tabernacles. Let's build one tabernacle. What were they to do above all else? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. When he leaves this mountain, you leave with him. When he goes down to the foot of the mountain and he meets the other disciples there that you've forgotten about, you follow him. And when he makes his way to Jerusalem, and where he will be arrested in the middle of the night, once again you three will be chosen that will, you know, that have been taken up to the heights of the mountain, you're going to be taken down, but you follow him. You listen to what Jesus has to say. Never mind about building three tabernacles. Never mind doing what you think ought to be or what you think ought to be done. You listen to what Jesus has to say. And you know, there's an awful lot today of building of tabernacles. Building tabernacles that God the Father has never commanded. Building tabernacles that Jesus has never asked for. You go to many churches today and you might think to yourself, well, this is wonderful. Peter thought it would be wonderful to build tabernacles, but he wasn't told to do that. We today are commanded to hear what Jesus says to us in his word. The Bible. He alone is. He alone is the Master. Ye have one. One is your Master. Even Christ. Even Christ Jesus. He's your Master. As we come down from the Mount of Ordinance, as we leave the communion table, we may have many things in our mind. We might imagine things. We might say, well, this is what we ought to do. This is what we will do. My friend, has Jesus told you to do that? Bring everything to the touchstone of God's word. Bring everything to the touchstone of Jesus Christ. We are all prone to going our own way. We are also prone to doing what we ourselves think ought to be done. But the heavens that day opened and there was a cloud came down and they lost sight of Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah weren't. They weren't to be looked to. They weren't just to be listened to. There was one who was to be listened to. Peter wasn't to be listening to his own heart. Peter wasn't to be trying to fathom his own understanding. Peter was to hear what Jesus had to say. And if there is one thing that we come into God's house, we come and we sit at the Lord's table, or we come and we are under the preaching of the word of God, it's a good thing when we leave that house. If nothing else happens, it's good if we leave God's house and we say, I'll hear what Jesus has to say to me. This, he says, is my, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Do we hear Jesus? Do we hear what he has to say? Do we leave the Mount of Ordinance? And as we do so, do we have the voice of the Lord Jesus ringing in our ears? Come and follow me. And you know, when these disciples left the Mount of Transfiguration, it was a good, you know, they were afraid there. There was fear there. But Peter couldn't quite understand what to say. He says, it was good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles here. Do you know, when they left the Mount and when they followed Jesus,
What a dark night was ahead of them. When they followed Jesus, it wasn't going to be easy. They had to go to Jerusalem. They had a night where in Gethsemane. They had a night where Jesus was arrested. It was a most difficult time for them. They saw Jesus being crucified. When they followed Jesus, it was the most difficult road that any person could ever be asked to follow. And that's true even today of a Christian. You follow Christ and it will be the most difficult road that you will ever have to follow. But I'll tell you this. They were blessed in following Jesus. And while it may be a hard road that the Lord will ask you and command you to go when you're commanded to follow Jesus, yet he promises you that you will be blessed. Here in the Mount of Transfiguration, you have a sort of an insight into heaven itself. And what do you see? You see Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And that's but a picture. And as we began by saying, if a few moments on the mount, and they were asleep when it was in the night time, and they were sleeping, they were awakened when they saw this, and it was a few moments that they saw. If these few moments had such an impact on them, that later on Peter says, we were on the mount, we saw his glory, imagine what it will be like for the blessed Christian, who at the end of the day will be for all eternity. And there will be no words like, arise, let us go hence. There will be no arising. It will be a glory that the Lord's people will rejoice in. Stephen, lead us in a word of prayer. Let us pray.
Let's go on God's way.